Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
It wasn't the main primary day for Republicans across the country, but my goodness, is there a headline on this one. All of the lead up to anything going on in Ohio was Donald Trump and his endorsements. Breitbart reports this morning that Donald Trump, the former president of the United States, now has a 55-0 record in his last 55 endorsements heading into these primaries. It was a clean sweep in the state of Ohio. Donald Trump had endorsed 22 candidates from the top of the food chain, which was J.D. Vance in the Senate primary, who won easily over all the other candidates, to down-ballot candidates all over the place in Ohio that ran in primaries. This cannot be overstated. Donald Trump's endorsements went 22-0 in Ohio. And again, Breitbart reporting that is now 55 straight endorsements that Donald Trump has won in primaries for Republicans. That is 55 in a row. Has there ever been anything like this anywhere in elections? These are not general elections, so that's not beating Democrats. That's Republicans that are going to the polls on primary day saying, if Trump says to vote for this guy, I'm voting for this guy. And that's just 100% exactly what it is. It's quite remarkable. Listen, maybe this has happened before. I've never heard anything like this. I've never heard anything like a 55-0 streak, which is what Trump has going right now. The numbers are really quite mind-boggling when you think about it. That's just absolutely crazy. J.D. Vance, late steam, got the Trump endorsement, easily wins the Senate race in Ohio, and he now will face Tim Ryan in the general election in November. Tim Ryan, I saw a commercial of his that he's running. He's a Democrat who's running in the middle. He's sitting there saying, if you're wanting woke politics and social things, I'm not your candidate. I'm law and order. I'm this and that. And then I think he shoots a gun or throws a dart or does something, acts like some tough guy. So the Democrat in Ohio is now running as he's not even running as a centrist. He's running like he's a Republican, is what he's doing, up against J.D. Vance. This is a state that was a toss-up a few years ago. And again, this is what the theme of this podcast, we're going to go all the way back to, 2008 again, because this is where it basically all started to change. And, so many different things that we have here are related to this as we become more polarized right and left. And we see that in Ohio. The numbers in Ohio on this primary day were staggering. 4 years ago for the primary, 800,000 Republicans went out and voted in the primary. This year, up 50%, not 15, 50%, 1.2 million votes cast by Republicans in the state of Ohio in this primary. The Democrats, on the other hand, 4 years ago had 680,000 votes in their primary, and they're going to do well to hit a final of 600,000 this time. So they're down about 15%. So the GOP is up 50% in people who voted in this primary. The Democrats are down 15%. These are staggering numbers. And, you want something that indicates what's going to happen in November. Voter turnout is everything. And there are not enough drop boxes or, mailmen to deliver ballots to defeat those kind of numbers in Ohio. Ohio is now a solidly red state. This was a clean sweep for Donald Trump in the state of Ohio, all 22 races, and he's won 55 straight in primaries with endorsements. Now, this is the chicken or the egg. So we can look at this and we say, okay, did Donald Trump sit back? Because I would do this if I were Trump. I'd be very smart. I would find some candidates let's just take 22 in Ohio. I would have my staff work really hard and say, look, who's slam dunk? Find me some slam dunk winners that we know are not, these are not close races, they're down ballot, whatever, and I'll endorse the person that we know is the slam dunk winner. Or maybe one or two of them were not even opposed in some of these things. That's possible, I don't know that. These are lower level races, some of these things that Trump endorsed in Ohio. You'd want to find some of those to make your record look better. When they start tossing it up on the scoreboard, you want to do that. So the chicken or the egg is, did he cherry pick some of these and say, look, I know they're going to win, so I'm going to endorse them and I'm going to ride along on their coattails and make my record look good? Because that sounds completely Donald Trump, does it not? And I'm not complaining. We love who he is that way. Great. Winning, right? Get tired of winning? Or are these majority of, I picked a guy and that guy or woman went and won? And that's what J.D. Vance was. Clearly, J.D. Vance was behind. He is the person that Donald Trump wanted to win. And the optics of Trump going and speaking on J.D. Vance's behalf were everything in this race. He winds up winning by, I think, 9 points in a crowded primary field with six different Republicans running for the Senate candidacy. So that's an easy win when you have that many candidates out there running. And Trump obviously was a big deal. He also had Peter Thiel, the Silicon Valley billionaire, put a lot of money into his campaign that allowed J.D. Vance to have a lot of television ads. I can't say this will be a slam dunk easy win for J.D. Vance because we don't know what will happen between now and November. A lot of things could happen between now and November. But J.D. Vance looks like he is well on his way to being the next senator in the state of Ohio, and that's great news. This was the big one this week, and I couldn't believe it when I read the Breitbart story that is 55 straight for Donald Trump. And then we look at the results, the numbers, because Ohio really is a state we want to look at, and we see how many voters turned out for Republicans versus Democrats. Just shocking. Shocking. Democrats are down. They're not liking their party, folks. You can't have a 50% increase of GOP voters and a 15% decrease of Democrat voters in a primary and not believe that at least a few thousand of those people have switched parties. There's no other way I can look at it. I can't just sit here and say, oh, we've got 50% more Republicans now in Ohio. They just came out of the woodworks. They were non-voters. No, some of these had to switch. If you're almost 100,000 primary voters down for the Democrats and you're 400,000 up with Republicans, doesn't it make sense that a big chunk of those Democrats just left the party and said, I don't like what these people are doing. I don't believe in any of this. I'm switching. Look, this isn't a reach for me. I'm not sitting here trying to pump everybody up. I you know, the theme of all our podcasts is we're winning. We're winning while we're losing. I hate to present it that way because the Democrats are in charge, but they can't get anything done. I mean, they can't get any. Joe Biden can't get anything done. They can't get anything done at a national level. They can't. So they're not very scary all of a sudden, are they? No, they're not. We haven't fixed the border. The things he's doing by executive action are frightful. The things that he's doing inside the swamp with CIA, Department of Justice, Homeland Security, FBI, military, those things are all bad. They're all bad. But we need to take a lesson. You know, I was very excited to have something other than abortion to lead with here today, and I was going to lead with Dave Chappelle. We'll get to him in a little bit because it's quite a story in LA as he was attacked on stage. We'll get to that. But we're looking at all of this reaction to what happened with Roe v. Wade and the leaked opinion from Justice Alito that has gone out into the press and the reaction by the left. And to me, my initial reaction was far different than what it was around the country. And now I see all these stories, you know, that have happened. We're about 48 hours in on this thing now that are kind of moving toward my first reaction. My first reaction on the entire thing was, okay, this is a state's rights issue, which is what the Constitution says, and the amendments to the Constitution say, is the federal government basically will do nothing that the Constitution doesn't say it can do. It will kick it to the states. That's what our country is. That's what this ruling is. This is a solid legal ruling. Everybody knows that. Well, the Democrats go wild. My reaction to the Democrats going wild was, you've had 50 years to write a law and pass it. You've sat here for over a year with the White House, the House of Representatives, and the Senate at your beck and call. Why didn't you write an abortion law? If you write it into federal law, the Supreme Court won't hear a case. The Supreme Court doesn't hear cases about a federal law. If you pass the law, it's law. It's on the books. It's part of American law. That never happened. Roe v. Wade basically was the Supreme Court ruled, basically, that abortions are legal in America. Essentially, that's what they ruled. Now, that's fine, and that held for 50 years, but there was never a law. They never passed one. They never tried. They don't want that debate on the floor. If they're so cocky and so confident that America wants all these abortions on demand, go pass a law. You're sitting there. You've got the House of Representatives, Pelosi. Do it today. Get on the floor, introduce a bill, and put it up for a vote. Let's go vote on this. Let's see how that works out for you. Joe Biden has a history, a recent history, of being against abortion. As recent as 2006, when he was becoming the vice president of the United States, Joe Biden was out there saying that, well, he said yesterday, he called this aborting a baby, aborting a child. It's unbelievable. He used the Republican language in his impromptu little gathering of the media. He says, aborting a baby is aborting a child. I mean, he's using the wrong language. He's not the right guy. He's been anti-abortion his whole career. All of a sudden, he, you know, caves to the far left of his party and changes his stance as president, but he doesn't do it very well. He has no conviction in this. He has no history in this. In 2006, when he's about to become vice president a year later, a year and a half later, he says, I made everybody angry. I don't believe in this abortion. I don't believe in on-demand. I don't like it. He's Catholic. He stayed with his church for a long time, and he was against it. He's long been against it. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, this is driving him wild. She's dead. She is not rolling over in her grave. She predicted this. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is their hero, their icon on the Supreme Court. They largely credited everything that were women's rights, abortion, although she had nothing to do with abortion, all of these different things, that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was our hero on the left. Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, and this was quite some time ago, I think this might have been in the 90s, she predicted, she said, when you pass Roe v. Wade, which is what they did, 7-2, the Democrat justices, they moved too swiftly. She said, when you do this too swiftly, when it's too swiftly shaped, it may prove unstable. Ginsburg went on to say that Roe versus Wade went too far. They should have just ruled on Texas, which was the case. The case was, what can Texas do? It was a state's rights issue. They should have just ruled on Texas and kicked everything back to the 50 individual states and the people to have their own free and fair elections on what to do with abortion in their state. She said at the time this would reduce rather than fuel any controversy. That is exactly right. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, of all people, was out there predicting this exact thing would happen and that it should have happened in the beginning. That Roe v. Wade, that she agreed that what Texas was doing should be illegal. Okay? So she agreed with that. And what she said was they should have just ruled on Texas and sent a signal to all 50 states, go make your own rules, but you can go too far. You cannot ban all abortions. You can't do that, which is what Texas was doing. Now, that ruling is consistent with the ruling we're going to get here, which is saying we believe Mississippi has the right to say there are no abortions after 15 weeks. What reasonable human being? This is a 75% issue in America. Americans agree there should never be an abortion after 15 weeks. In fact, the question is typically posed at 10 weeks. When they do polling, the question is, do you think there should be abortions after 10 weeks, after conceptions? And 73% of Americans say no, there shouldn't be an abortion after 10 weeks. That is plenty of time to know you are pregnant and make the decision and abort the fetus. But don't let it become a baby. No late-term abortions. None of these other hideous things where they crush a skull and do all... Ugh, it's unbelievably bad. Most Americans simply say, we don't want to know. We may not like it. It wouldn't be our choice. But if it's a new fetus, a few weeks old, okay. Doesn't feel pain. Scientifically, they're like, there's no pain involved. Great. We'll turn the other cheek and say, if that's what has to happen, that's what has to happen. Reasonable people can compromise. But Americans don't want abortions after 15 weeks. That's all Mississippi's law was. And that's all they're ruling here, is that Mississippi has the right to say no abortions after 15 weeks. Mississippi isn't outlawing abortions. Now, they may. They may. People in Mississippi may elect politicians. This may become the biggest issue in Mississippi, where the politicians say there will be no abortions. We're going to outlaw them in this state. And the Supreme Court is clearly saying you have the right to do that at this point. It is a state's rights issue. I did some reading last night, and I it's not something I would normally do. But I read about the Constitution. I am no scholar. I don't remember a lot of this stuff from college. I don't remember a lot of this. But I read up on it, and I specifically read up on the amendments. the Bill of Rights, and then what have led to 27 ratified amendments. We have 27 of them. And they're all over the place. The Bill of Rights is what it says. It's the first, 13? The Bill of Rights are the Bill of Rights. This is free speech, your right to assemble, freedom of the press, carry a gun. We know what many of these Bill of Rights things include for us as Americans. They protect our freedoms. They're untouchable. Thank God we have a Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Most of these, the Bill of Rights, are really, 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 really old. But some of these 27 amendments of the past have been fairly recent, some in the 60s. And they're wide-ranging. For example, these can change. And again, this is something that if the Democrats want to put into the Bill of Rights, if they want to have the 28th Amendment, actually there have been some amendments that have been struck down, so there's like four or five more that did not ratify. So it'd be like the 34th Amendment or something like that. If they want to have an amendment to the Constitution and make it an American citizen's right, and I have to say citizen, I can't say woman, right? Because they're saying men can get pregnant. That's what they say. An American citizen's right to an abortion, if they want to put that as an amendment to the Constitution, knock yourself out. Go try to do it. Let's see you get it passed. It ain't going to happen. It isn't even close. Nobody would even try that. And that's not a simple vote, okay? These are big supermajorities. You got to have like three quarters of Congress and Senate and all these different, you got no chance. You have no chance of something crazy like that. So they're running around acting like they have a winning issue, like abortion is some big winner for them. Americans are split on abortion. No laws get passed at the federal level. They're not going to take this to the House of Representatives. They've got time between now and November to pass any law they want. Run it through the House, pass it in the Senate, put it on Biden's desk. Get your abortion law. You've dragged your feet for 50 years with no abortion law. You've just sat there with a flimsy ruling from the Supreme Court that even Ruth Bader Ginsburg has said over and over and over, she said, was weak, it was flimsy, it was unstable, is what she called it, an unstable ruling. Of course it was unstable. It was a reflection of the times. They're coming out of Vietnam. We had all these leftist protests going on in America. I was just a kid, so I can't eyewitness it, but I can tell exactly what happened. You've got a completely left-leaning Supreme Court. Yes, women power, women power. Well, you can't call it women power anymore. Abortion isn't women's rights. If men can get pregnant, and what kind of legal ruling is it that the mother can decide and the father's not involved? Anybody want to weigh in on that one? This is a very complicated issue, and I don't like getting into the issue, but I don't mind getting into how we got here and what the Supreme Court is, what it was in 1973, what it is today, and how there, every one of these Democrats, Chuck Schumer, every one of them, you can go back far enough and find them on record where they basically agree with what this is. I don't know what Democrat would... See, this is so stupid. They challenged the Mississippi law. It's their own damn fault. They challenged it because they didn't think it was good enough. They wanted to crush skulls at 8 months and kill babies. That's what they wanted to do. 15 weeks to decide an abortion, almost 4 months after you're pregnant. Almost 4 months after you get pregnant is not enough time to decide. 15 weeks is not enough time to decide whether or not you're going to have an abortion. This is how crazy they are on the left. This is what they fought. And they fought and they fought and they fought. And they fought for 3 years. And they finally last fall got it to the Supreme Court and they got crushed. They did. And shame on Justice Roberts for siding with the left. And I suspect it's the same thing he did with Obamacare. Let's not upset these people. I think the Chief Justice is a caver. I don't think he believes the way he rules in these cases. I think he does it to appease the left because if he's smart enough, he's afraid of his own safety and security. It would be so easy in D.C. to switch from being a conservative to some, you know, mealy-mouthed, no-backbone person in the middle. It would be so easy because they're scary. They ruin lives. They wreck your life. They intimidate you. They threaten you. It would be so easy to do the stuff that Roberts has done. And I think that's all it is. I don't think he believes some of these things. I think it's for him individually the easiest path to just say, look, we just don't need this mayhem here. I'll side with you guys on this one. We don't need a Roe versus Wade controversy. Not on my watch. I'm the Chief Justice, and I don't want this. I could see that. He found very weak ways to support Obamacare in what he wrote and in what he said about Obamacare. Very weak. Very, very weak sauce to pass Obamacare. But he sided with him, and that's what happens. We're winning everywhere. I mean, this is, you know, we talk about these amendments and going forth and, you know, why aren't these things constitutional? There's nothing in the Constitution about abortion. Amendments can be approved and taken away. This happened with alcohol. There was an amendment regarding alcohol consumption in America, your right to have alcohol or produce alcohol. Then it was taken away during or after prohibition. Then it was put back in. These things can come and go. You know, they say, is the Constitution a living, breathing document? Well, yes, Democrats, go live and breathe. Get your amendments. Do it. Pass a law on abortion or go get an amendment to the Constitution that says anybody in America has the right to an abortion at any time. Define it. Put it in a law or make it an amendment. I dare you. Go do it. You can't. It has no chance of passing. Zero. Maybe someday we're, you know, completely free of religion in this country somewhere down the road, hundreds of years from now, and everybody is just awful and the world is something like a sci-fi movie, and the feelings of the people in this country are, yeah, go ahead and do that. You can clearly look back on all the things since the Constitution was written about slavery, voting rights, all these different things. You can see how we've evolved, and it's very simple. When the overwhelming majority of Americans want to evolve and change something, we do. And if and when the overwhelming majority of Americans want abortion on demand, we will write it into law. And there will be an amendment to the Constitution. That is not 2022. It has no chance. I mean, zero. There's no context in any of this stuff when it happens now. You know, Chuck Schumer goes to the microphone and says these things. It's unbelievable. And so few people in America know what our history is and know how we have systems in place for abortion to be legal. It's just sitting there. Go do it. Go do it. Get your law, get your amendment, whatever it may be. Do it. There, I could foresee a day where we have such a cultural shift in this country that that's legal. I mean, there was a time where there was no drinking. I mean, we've evolved. There was a time women didn't vote. Black men were allowed to vote before women, white women in this country. Nobody knows that. We don't talk about that. That's just, I mean, it's unbelievable, really. It's impossible to believe we were that ass backwards. But we were. We were. And maybe someday this is viewed as backwards. I don't know. I don't think so. I think there will always be enough good people in America that they don't want to see babies killed. I just do. I believe that. I sleep well at night believing that, that's always going to be the case. But this is just ridiculous. It's a sideshow at this point. I tweeted yesterday. I said that the headline easily could be on this draft that was leaked. The headline could easily be Supreme Court of the United States backs Mississippi abortion bill, or Supreme Court of the United States supports abortion in Mississippi. That could be the headline. Ultimately, what they said is we support abortion in Mississippi, because they didn't really support abortion. Anytime you're looking at the issue and saying they picked a side on the issue is not what they're supporting at all. What they're saying is we support the Constitution. The Constitution says this is a state's rights issue. It's very clear. It is exceedingly clear in the Bill of Rights and the amendments to the Constitution that this falls under states' rights. It is not in question. There is no authority of the federal government to do this. There is no mention of it. It is nowhere. Anything that is not specifically granted to the federal government by the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the amendments, any of these things, not specifically granted to the federal government is, by definition, an issue of each state. That's all this is. The shame of it is this should be a 9-0 vote. The Supreme Court is only supposed to base their rulings on the Constitution and the laws of the United States. There is no law for abortion. There's no federal law. There's a court ruling from 1973. And after 50 years where the Democrats could have passed a law or got an amendment or done whatever they wanted to do, and they didn't, we finally awakened and said, this is bad law. This is a bad ruling. This is a state's rights issue. Already there are 30 states, known states, 30 states, known states that will have legal abortion. Period. End of discussion. There may be some in the South that have some abortion now that go try to pass laws to have none. But there's going to be abortion in an overwhelming majority of states. It's going to be available. For some people, you may have to drive a few hours and go to a bordering state and do this if that's what you want to do. It is not taking abortion away in the United States in any way, shape, or form. It's been fun the last couple days for me to read up on this stuff. I should have done that long ago. I should have read more about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the amendments a long time ago. And I would strongly encourage any of you to just spend an hour. Just take an hour. It's so easy to go online. You can read all the amendments. You can read the whole Bill of Rights, the amendments. You can read it all. It's really easy to do. And even if you find sites that are left-leaning, they still can't, you know, post that stuff without actually writing the actual words. When you read the words, it reads like a conservative doctrine. It's everything we love. It's states' rights over federal rights, almost all of it. It is individual freedoms and elections for representatives in our republic over federal government. In every case, it kicks the power to the people. Everything that's in there. This is just a complete and utter no-brainer. KKHI is brought to you by Advanced Medical Imaging in Lawrence. Online at medimageks.com. Man, these folks are great. If you need an MRI or a CT scan, and remember this, because when it comes up, your doctor may refer you. This happened with my mom, and she got great care, and we're very happy that she's so healthy. But I'll never forget, you know, we're like, uh-oh, she's got this thing. And then we had to wait days and days and days to get in an appointment and get it checked out. I'm like, well, wait a second. You should never have to wait. And I think she waited 8 days or something. Okay, some people wait 3 weeks or longer. If you have something bad in you, you need to know right away. Advanced Medical Imaging is the place to go. Your insurance is accepted there. You don't have to go to the exact office your doctor says. Say, listen, I can get an appointment today or certainly tomorrow at Advanced Medical Imaging. I'm going there, and just go. It's in Lawrence. Here's the number to call. If you'd like to make that call and take healthcare into your own hands, 785-856-0224. It does not cost any more. In fact, it costs less. Your insurance company will like this. MRI, CT scans, outside the expensive hospital chains. You can get in today or tomorrow. All major insurance accepted. Advanced Medical Imaging is online at medimageks.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. You want an electric truck? Order it up. There it is. Okay, Silverado, Sierra, electric's coming. It's time to get in line, put that deposit down, and put your order in. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. Customers there, like me, say, we just make it easy. We do. Roberts Robinson makes it easy. Ask for Mike Robinson or Tim Trader on the showroom floor, or as is always the case, shoot me an email. I'll put you in touch with them. More than happy to do that. If your car needs servicing, remember, they'll pick it up, service it, and return it to you. No extra charge. They're pretty incredible at Roberts Robinson. They do make it easy with Chevrolet. Find new roads. Finch Knife Company, now featuring a new series of knives called Chernobyl Ant. Fly fishermen know all about Chernobyl Ant. It's a wicked good fly. They love fishing with the Chernobyl Ant. Well, they've designed a series of knives that look a little bit like the Chernobyl Ant fly. You can see them all online at FinchKnifeCo.com. What I love about Finch Knife Company, they're not just the best knives at the best price. So many other knives of this quality are twice as much. Okay, these are great pocket knives. They're designed in Kansas City. These are dudes we know. They're great, great conservative guys that are really, these knives are a reflection of the way Midwest people live. That's really what this series of knives is. It's pretty cool. But they never stop. They're always looking at new designs and new creative ways, and they come up with many new designs every year. And right now, you should check out the Chernobyl Ant series at FinchKnifeCo.com. Okay, Dave Chappelle is on stage in Los Angeles on Tuesday night. It's a big show. Netflix is rolling. It's going to become a special. And he is attacked on stage. Now, there's a lot of stuff out there today that the man was carrying a gun and a knife and all this stuff. I probably spent too much time reading about this story, getting ready for this podcast, but it's what you expect of me every day. I do the work, so you just get to hear it here. What every report you're seeing is missing is something TMZ reported overnight. And I don't laugh at TMZ anymore. TMZ is almost always right. They're not a tabloid. They don't make things up. They have incredible sources. They might be, they're the most plugged in source for things going on in Los Angeles that exists. TMZ is more connected than the LA Times or any other operation in Los Angeles. What they've built is incredible. TMZ reports that what he brought on stage was a toy. It was a fake. It was actually a plastic replica type gun that had a knife, fake knife attached to it. That it looked like something, but never could have done any harm. Impossible to have harmed Dave Chappelle. Doesn't change the fact that this man ran onto stage, and he was a black man, for context, and grabbed Chappelle around the legs and dropped him to the ground. Immediately, security jumped on stage, grabbed the guy, hauled him off, and apparently beat the living daylights out of him backstage. So this could become an interesting case. Clearly, this man's going to jail for doing what he did to Dave Chappelle. And should serve a real sentence, by the way. They're letting people in L.A. get away with crimes. Let's see what happens with this one. This one's on tape, and it's a big celebrity. Jamie Foxx was there. Chappelle came back out a few minutes later after they haul the assaulter off on a gurney to an ambulance and take him to the hospital. Dave Chappelle comes out and refers to him as an N-I-G-G-A, and made fun of his spongy hair. And he said, that's all I could feel. I went to the ground. I reached down. I could just feel this spongy hair. And he's making fun of this black man. I don't know that the guy's black. I'm just telling you what Chappelle said, because you can't really see in the video all that well whether he's black or whatever he is. Chappelle called him that, called him the N-word, and said he had spongy hair and all this other stuff. I don't know. Chappelle came out after the incident for a curtain call. Everybody stayed there. And he came out, and he was kind of funny. And he made some jokes about the assailant. And he thanked Jamie Foxx and said, boy, it's great. Everywhere, you know, something like this happens, you know, Jamie Foxx is going to show up wearing a sheriff's hat or something like that. He made some jokes, went back on stage, wrapped the thing up. It was near the end of his set anyway. And it was amazing. It's going to get a lot of headlines and a lot of attention. We know this after watching the Oscars, where Will Smith ran on stage and slapped Chris Rock. It is an incentive for people to try to do things like this. We know that. When people see things, they get the crazy people get the idea in their head, I should go do something like that. Thank God this is not a guy with a real gun or a real knife, that he didn't stab him, that TMZ is reporting this was a fake, again, not me, TMZ, says it was a plastic or fake gun, fake knife, couldn't do any harm with that if he tried. But he went up and he went on the stage and tackled him. Now, how is this different? And this is different. We just saw, in a baseball game this week, well, I chronicled last week in a podcast several incidents where people have gone on a field at sporting events and caused mayhem and done things and been pummeled, by the way. You're going to get pummeled. This week, a couple boys ran on the field, like 10-year-old boys, jumped a short fence in a major league game and went running around on the field. They didn't get pummeled. They got picked up, taken in. I'll have to follow up, do some research, and find out what they're going to do with those juveniles for what they did, because they were kids. They were like 10 and 12, ran on a field. I mean, this has been going on forever. When I was a kid, Morgana, the kissing bandit, used to run on the field and kiss George Brett. And they would, I guess ceremonially, a couple officers would carry her off. They'd say they wrote her a citation and arrested her, but she literally became famous for running on the field and kissing players. I don't know how we treat these things. Do you treat them that there's a zero tolerance policy and we're going to the fullest extent of the law pound you for what you did? Or do we say, we got to look at it. Well, that wasn't a real gun. It was a fake knife. This is not as serious a crime as if he had taken a real knife and stabbed him. I don't know. I don't know how the system works. I just know there's a wide variety of different things of people walking on stage. Such a wide variety that at the Oscars, people thought it was planned. People thought Will Smith was, that it was fake. The joke was planted, Will Smith came up, slapped him, that was that, they were all acting. There were plenty of people that believed that was the case. Is that a crime? Was that a crime? Is that the end of the world? Eh. Boys running on a field is a stupid kid prank. They did it. It's far different than tackling Dave Chappelle at his own show. But this year, we're back to normal in America. We're going to get off abortion in the Supreme Court, and we're going to talk about celebrities getting tackled, which is much more 2022 America than any of us can stand. I had anticipated until Trump won 55 straight primaries. I had anticipated starting with Dave Chappelle on the podcast today because I thought, well, we're back to normal. We're off abortion. We're off the Supreme Court, and we're talking about a gazillionaire on stage filming a Hollywood production getting tackled by a dude because that's really what Americans are interested in. A lot more people will have conversations with their friends and their relatives about Dave Chappelle than the abortion thing. They will. That's just where we are. That's who we are. It's what we are. It's a great thing. It's great that we're this comfortable, that America is that great. It really is. That our Constitution is in place to save us from the crazy left. The amendments, the Bill of Rights are all there to save us from the crazy left. We have protections that most Americans don't even know we have. Americans have it so good that they can worry about Dave Chappelle on stage and things like that, that they don't even know why they have it so good. We have it good because we are protected by and large from the left. And if anything's happened this week, that's what we've seen more than anything else. We're protected from these crazoids because they're going nuts over this abortion deal. They're going crazy over this. And the simplest of statements is why I've already said it. But if you really just want to, you know, take one serious look at the abortion issue, and it's that they've had 50 years to write it into law and they didn't do it. That's all you got to know about abortion. It is not that popular. It's a fringe issue. And no, people on the far right and far left, they don't change each other's minds. But it's mostly a fringe issue that a lot of people don't think about every day. And if they're lucky, it never becomes a question in their life, that they never get an unwanted pregnancy and have to make some sort of decision. That would be wonderful if that's the way your life has been. So to me, that's what this Dave Chappelle thing is going to show. We're going to move off this real quick because this isn't World War III. And it isn't an amendment. It's not a law under consideration. It's just a ruling that is not even out yet by the Supreme Court. KKHI is presented by Fry Orthodontics with 12 locations in Kansas City for your convenience. Dr. Jeremy is something else. We had a wonderful dinner at his house on Saturday night. And he and his wife, Nikki, are just such nice people. And they have built an unbelievable business. You know, his dad started it a long time ago. I think Jeremy said when his dad started Fry Orthodontics in the 60s or 70s, there were only three orthodontists in Kansas City. Jeremy is taking this thing to another level. It's growing. It's becoming bigger. It's more affordable when they do it this way. It is less time. It's better hygiene. They offer Invisalign now, which has not been available until, you know, the last few years. They offer Invisalign for the same price as braces. Nobody does that. Fry Orthodontics wants you to have a great smile. But your smile is just the start. It's really the way they treat you. It's the experience that you have. I get emails. We had beers last Friday afternoon, a happy hour thing with our friends. And they said their daughter had just completed her treatment at Fry Orthodontics, and it was great. And it was kind of fun. It really should be that way, and that's what Fry Ortho is all about. Call them, mention the podcast to get up to $500 off your treatment at Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Joslyn's Jewelry, Mother's Day. Guys, it's Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day week. Here you go. Get to Joslyn's. Mention Mother's Day. Just mention it. I do not know exactly what the special is, but go there and mention it. There's something really good for you at Joslyn's if you mention you heard about the Mother's Day special on KKHI. Just mention it. It's either going to be a percentage off or a free gift that you get or something for your mom. Gary Joslyn loves Mother's Day. He loves it. It's everything to him. It's truly everything. Mother's Day is everything to Gary Joslyn. Trust me. There's something good for you at Joslyn's Jewelry this year. If you go in and say, I want to know about the secret special, the secret menu item at Joslyn's Jewelry for Mother's Day, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. And Chris over at B-Stock tells me they have iPhones in. Brand new iPhones in stock for KKHI customers. iPhone SE, only $459. iPhone XS, pronounced 10S. I said it the wrong way. It says right there, iPhone XS, $379. Fantastic. iPhone 11 Pro Max, $749. They're all at B-Stock, online at bstock.net, or visit them at 14680 South Flaming Road. One more news item before we get to sports. I think I'm running long today. Oh, boy. KK has issues. He's wound up and running long. I can't leave this out. I saw this one this morning. Florida textbook publishers surrender to Ron DeSantis and scrub woke content. Textbook publishers are surrendering to Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis' demands that math materials get in line with state standards. Amazing. From the Florida Department of Education on their website, publishers are aligning their instructional materials to state standards, allowing the Department of Education to add 19 more books to the state list over the past 17 days. They announced on April 15th they rejected 41% of math textbooks proposed by publishers for public instruction in Florida because they contain, quote, indoctrinating concepts such as critical race theory, social-emotional learning, and Common Core, which are prohibited by the state according to the benchmarks for excellent student thinking standards. 41%? 41% of math textbooks had smack in them, and they struck them down. Now the book publishers are like, wait a second, we're in business to sell books here. We'll take that stuff right out of there. They took it right out and republished them, and Florida said, great. So they've added the new books back in. Folks, this is democracy. This is what our republic is. This is who we are. Majority wins. Majority don't want that stuff in their books. We just have to find it and call it out and take over in big enough numbers and win elections and change things. It's not complicated. They're doing it right and left in Florida. It's coming to a United States near you because they went too far, because the people are crazy. And they're such an overwhelming minority. Such a tiny slice of Americans from the far left are pushing all this crazy stuff on everyone. And everyone knows it. On to sports. The Royals have won. This is my favorite. The Royals won one in a row. Three of their last 12. They're 8-14 on the season. And they just pulled within two games of second place. Everybody's like, is the Royals season over? Well, yeah, probably. The Royals are two games out of second place. Two games. I think that's just fantastic. Look, some great things happen in the win. 7-1 over the Cardinals. Brad Keller goes 6 1/3. Keller's earned run average is down to 1.74. And he had a four-run inning. Is that it? Is that what he's done for the whole year? He gave up four runs in one inning? Is that it? That might be it. 1.74, probably not. He is now, it's the first win for either Greinke or Keller. Greinke's earned run average is 2.46 or something. So their 1-2 starters are, I'll have to look this up. I'm going to look this up before the end of the week. The Royals might have the best 1-2 starters in baseball, statistically. The Royals' 1-2 starters may have given up fewer runs than any 1-2 starters in all of baseball. It's possible. But Brad Keller got the win in the game, and it was the first win that either he or Greinke has in their ridiculously great outings. What a shame there. But great news that Keller's getting so many ground balls. The story in this ball game was Bobby Witt Jr. got his first home run. MJ Melendez got his first base hit and walk. And Edward Olivares is hitting .379. The Royals win 7-1. These are young hitters carrying the load for the Royals on this night. I mentioned Witt Jr. got his first home run. His average is almost .240 now. He's doing better than a lot of the veterans, but they had a weird moment. He golfed his home run. It wasn't a strike. It was down low. He golfed it out, and it bounced out of the seats back onto the field where Cardinals center fielder Harrison Bader grabbed it and threw it into the fountain. He didn't throw it to a fan, and he didn't try to throw it to a fan. A lot of people are saying, oh, he threw it over the fans, and it mistakenly went in the fountains. Not the case. He was teasing the fans. He chucked. There's about 6 or 8 rows of fans right there, and then fountains behind him. He threw it so far over all the fans, it hit the back part of the fountain and bounced down into the water. He was not trying to throw that ball to a fan. He was teasing the fans and throwing it in the water. I've seen ball players tease fans forever. They do it when you're on the road. It's common. Royals players probably do it too. it's okay. This doesn't make him Darth Vader on May the 4th. Doesn't make him Darth Vader. Harrison Bader is not Darth Vader. And it is May the 4th. But I don't really care. So they had to fish it out for Bobby Witt Jr. My question is, how do they know that that was the one? That fountain's full of balls, isn't it? From batting practice each night? A lot of balls get hit out of the park going to that fountain during batting practice. So I hope he got the right one. Maybe it's marked differently than the batting practice balls. So he got his first ball that's going to sit on a shelf forever for Bobby Witt Jr.'s first home run ball is soaked with Kauffman Stadium fountain water. That in and of itself is awesome because the fountains are unique to Kauffman Stadium, and we like that. There was also something unique at the game. This is really unique. Denny Matthews, Steve Stewart, and Steve Fisiak, Royals announcers, are all sick. All at the same time. They haven't said it's COVID. I don't know what it is. It seems to me it must be COVID. But who knows? Why couldn't one of them come in and work? Anyway, it doesn't matter. They're all sick. So they call Jake Eisenberg, who calls the Omaha games, for the Royals' AAA affiliate. They put him in the booth, and Mike Sweeney's the analyst because they're out of people. You know, they got Ryan and Rex and Goldberg over there on TV, and they got nobody. Nobody left. Jake Eisenberg up from Omaha. Hell, he's calling an Omaha game. It was all Witt Jr., Melendez, and Oliveras. These are guys he's called forever. And he's pretty good. I got in my car. I have some people today delivering furniture, and I didn't have any cash. I don't keep a lot of cash in the house. I usually keep some in my wallet, but for some reason it's gone. I think somebody might have gotten into it. So it's not very far. I ran up to the ATM to get some cash last night while we were watching the game. Because they're coming today, and that's how I'm paying these people is with cash. I don't like Venmo. This is a sidetrack. I don't like Venmo. Did you know when you do something on Venmo, the public can see it? Did you know this? I mean, it doesn't give your account information or anything like that, but it says, like, Kevin Keatsman Venmo'd $100 to, you know, J&J Moving Company for moving this furniture. My wife's scrolling through last night what all of our friends have been Venmoing. I'm like, what are you doing? She says, is Abby going to Europe? My daughter. I said, hell, I don't know if Abby's going to Europe. She goes, well, she's got a Venmo here from her boyfriend Jack to pay for a plane ticket to Dublin or something. I don't know. I said, what? They live together. He's Venmoing her money? Their boyfriend and girlfriend, they live together. He Venmoed her money for his plane ticket? I guess. So it shows up on some scroll that Abby Keatsman Venmo. I'm like, what? This is public information. Venmo, when you Venmo somebody, it just puts it out there like this is Facebook. I said, there's no chance I'm ever getting on Venmo. I don't want anybody to know where I'm spending my money. This is insane. She thinks I'm weird. Jessica's like, you're crazy. You're weird. I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't want people to know where I spend my money. If I Venmo a moving company or, you know, somebody comes and sprays for bugs or whatever, nobody needs to know this. Nobody needs to know this about what the Keatsmans are doing. Sorry. I am not alone. I am confident I am not alone. I am confident the majority of this audience is with me. And I hope I'm doing you a service here. If you didn't know this happens on Venmo, it does. You Venmo somebody and the whole world can see it, apparently. Anyway, I get in my car to go get the cash because I asked Jessica, could you Venmo the movers tomorrow? Well, like she hem-hawed around. She didn't want to pay them. We're having them drop the new furniture here. Then the old piece of furniture is going to Abby's house. And so Jessica doesn't want to pay for that. She's like, I'm not paying for furniture to be sent to your daughter. So I'm like, okay, you know, walk of shame, get my keys, my wallet, go to the ATM, get the money, take care of this yourself. Because I ain't Venmoing it. But I get in the car and I drive up there and I'm listening to the Royals game. I'm like, who the heck is this? I didn't know who it was. And then I heard, well, that sounds like Mike Sweeney. So it's probably Mike Sweeney doing the analyst job. And I didn't know. And so I Google it. And then I saw that a story had come out a couple hours earlier that all these broadcasters were sick and Jake Eisenberg was calling the game. Good for Jake Eisenberg. He did a fine job. And then they said on the television broadcast later when I was watching that he's actually filled in and called some Mets games this year too. So Jake Eisenberg, the Omaha announcer, must be right on the cusp of becoming a major league announcer. He's getting tryouts with the Mets and the Royals. He's on the verge of something really good. He's a young guy. Good for him. A lot of great sportscasters come out of Omaha. Kevin Kugler is one of my favorites. Longtime professional acquaintance and friend. Used to be on my radio show a lot. Has been on this podcast once. Really good guy. Great family man. Has caused the Final Four for Westwood One Radio. Does a lot of big jobs. He's working with Fox now, doing NFL on Fox. Kevin Kugler, this guy's the limit. A lot of good broadcasters, sports broadcasters in the Omaha, Lincoln area. And Jake Eisenberg appears to be the next because he did a really nice job on that Royals game. You want to do really nice with your business, 360 Document Solutions can help you. Any business in Western Missouri or anywhere in the entire state of Kansas, Mark Lindquist will provide satisfaction for you, his customer. This is guaranteed, 100%. You want to save money on copiers, toner, IT, mailing systems, phone systems? 360 Document Solutions can reconfigure your office, save you money, get you out of your current leases, and you're going to work with people you know. And you know they're great because they're a sponsor of KKHI. You're going to like them. Instantly, you're going to have this brotherhood, this fellowship with Mark and his team, 360documentsolutions.com. Great Life KC, play more golf. Golf and fitness memberships available all over Kansas City at great places like Falcon Ridge, Prairie Highlands, Staley Farms, Tallgrass in Wichita, Osage National at the Lake of the Ozarks. Or you can join as a classic member, six courses for one price in Kansas City. The courses range from Leavenworth to Blue Springs. One low, low price, all the golf you can eat. Six different courses to play. GreatLifeKC.com or call 913-802-4552. If you want to play more golf and you don't want to be part of a club and you're a little intimidated by golf or whatever, get this classic membership. Try it for a year. See how much you play. See if you get better and see if you like it. You get six different courses to tool around on and play whenever you like. 913-802-4552, greatlifekc.com. The NCAA is having spring meetings in Scottsdale, Arizona, one of my favorite places in America. And two stories have come out of Scottsdale. Everything's tied together because it's all NCAA. Let's first start with Gene Smith, the athletic director at Ohio State. He did an interview and just started freestyling. You know, he started off the cuff, started saying, we need, when he says we, as athletic director of Ohio State, he's not talking about anything other than Ohio State football. Okay? So when you hear an athletic director say we, they're talking about their football team. They're not talking about the other stuff that football supports. They're just talking about their football team. And he said, we need to leave the NCAA. We need to have our own charter, our own rules, our own commissioner, everything under the college football playoff system. 10 conferences, schools with 85 scholarships need different rules than everyone else. The NCAA should keep basketball and Olympic sports. We need to have our own charter, our own organization, our own commissioner, and our own way of life. Gene Smith said it. It's coming. Trust me, it's coming. It won't be the end of the NCAA. The NCAA will stay in a lesser form and, again, do basketball and Olympic sports, but this is coming. And this is Ohio State saying, we think we can gain an advantage if we pull out of this and pull away from this. And if we're a big player in writing the charter and electing the commissioner, it'll be an advantage for Ohio State. That's what he said. I don't know that I disagree with him because I'm no giant fan of the NCAA and the way they do things, but we'll have to see how college football plays out. He's saying 10 conferences, all the schools with 85 scholarships can be under one umbrella. That's an interesting way because I would have thought he would say something like a top 64 schools should have their own league or top 32 because that's doable for the big football programs. If they want to branch off and do it, they could do that. Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports writes a story about an NCAA crackdown. The NCAA says they're going to crack down on name, image, and likeness fraud. There are now 100 collectives nationwide. A collective is a group of really rich people that are boosters of a school that get together, put money in a collective, and then give it and pay it to athletes at their school for name, image, and likeness, theoretically to do television commercials, radio spots, things like that. But what we found is they're actually recruiting enticements. This is the Nigel Pack rule. Little old K-State basketball had a first-team All-Big 12 player that was really young, wasn't ready to go to the NBA, got $800,000 plus a $100,000 car, $900,000 to go to the University of Miami because billionaire John Urees is paying him. And the NCAA says, well, we just can't believe this has happened. We put this NIL in, and I'll be darned if people aren't using it to get players to come to their school. This money's supposed to be after they're at the school. But it seems like it's a pay-for-play scheme going on here. How in the world are these players getting meetings with these billionaires who run these collectives? How? Oh, my God. I can go back 15 years and pull the archives out of my radio show and play for you monologues that I did that this was going to happen. And everyone on the left in the media that pushed for all of this and wanted all this acted like it was not going to happen. Oh, there'll be things in place. It won't be enticements for recruiting. It's just so they have a little pocket money and can go out on a date and things like that. I mean, you have no idea. These reporters that cover college athletics do not spend any time around boosters or the athletic department. Go to some of the social events. Go to one of the golf tournaments or a fundraiser for an athletic department and see what's mingling around there. And get out of your little, you know, pie-in-the-sky bubble where you think everything's going to be just fine and we're just helping these young athletes have a few bucks in their pocket. It's so pathetic. You knew this was coming. I've been talking about this for years. I didn't know who John Ruiz was. I always use Warren Buffett as my example. But hey, what are we talking about here? West Virginia, Dodd writes in the story, has a collective. It is run by Oliver Luck, their former athletic director, who is a candidate to be the new commissioner of the Big 12. He runs the collective for West Virginia, and the collective is funded by Ken Kendrick. You know who Ken Kendrick is? Ken Kendrick owns the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's a billionaire. Yes, West Virginia has a billionaire collective, and they're going to get players for it. Of course they are. Who wouldn't get players out of that? This is so fraudulent, so disgusting, so despicable. I can't believe what's happened to college athletics, and it makes me really, really sad. And now they react like, well, we just didn't see this coming. $900,000 for a player from Kansas State to go to Miami. Well, who's bitching the loudest? Yeah, if the player was going to go somewhere, I think Calipari wants him or some bigger program. Gonzaga, oh, they don't have John Ruiz. Oh, Miami's got a billionaire willing to spend $1 million here on Nigel Pack. And you didn't have a guy willing to spend $1 million on that, or you weren't smart enough to have it in place early enough. Miami's ahead of you. Sounds like West Virginia's getting out in front of some people. Texas Longhorns have a collective. If I have the number right, I think it's 50,000. The collective at Texas is set up by former offensive linemen. They're paying $50,000 a year to every offensive lineman. If you're a scholarship lineman at the University of Texas, you get this money. So there's a recruiting enticement. They don't even have to tell recruits. It's just in place. A recruit comes to campus and they're hosted by offensive linemen. They go, yeah, they got this thing here that if you're a lineman here and you're on scholarship, you get 50 grand. That's not even the collective talking to the athlete. You can't stop this unless you change it now. Rewrite the rules, put it in place, unionize the athletes, whatever you have to do, put a salary structure in place. It's professional sports. It's over. Pay them by sport. They can all be paid differently. They don't have to be paid the same. This is insane. This is absolute insanity. Crazy stuff. Also, a reminder, if you'd like some KKHI swag this summer for the swimming pool, we got trucker hats, we got t-shirts. Or if you just like to go take your dog for a walk, you want to keep the sun off your face, wear a cool, comfortable t-shirt, MisersSports.com has them for you. Call my man Daryl at Misers Sports, 816-741-8622. Every nickel generated from any of the sales of any of the KKHI products goes straight to heroesamonguskc.org. Please support Heroes Among Us by purchasing your KKHI t-shirt, hat, or sweatshirt right now. Call Daryl Miser, 816-741-8622, or for more information, go to miserssports.com, M-I-S-E-R-S sports.com, and support heroesamonguskc.org. We are closing in on 19,000 followers of the podcast. That is so awesome. I had about 25,000 Twitter followers over the last year and a half since I started doing this. I lost over 5,000 of them. Was down to 19,400 Twitter followers. That's up to 19,700 since Elon Musk took over Twitter. So 300 of you have said, I'm getting on Twitter and I'll follow Kevin because you haven't been on Twitter before. Truth Social is another great place to go. That's Trump's deal. It is a total safe space for conservatives. I only have like 70 followers there because not that many people are on it yet. But if you go do it, I tweeted out last night a video on both platforms of something I'm going to talk about on a future podcast when I get more information and comment on, a videotape that a listener sent me at a Costco parking lot in Kansas City where election fraud was taking place. They were trying to sign people up to sign a petition for legalizing marijuana. Attached to it was the voter bill, where they do this choice voting that would be good for Democrats in Missouri and bad for Republicans. The man said, oh, no, we don't have that petition. And then the people who were shooting the video looked through and found it and said, here it is. When I sign this, it says I'm signing this. And the guy goes, oh, I'm sorry. So they took it and they tore it up. They went into Costco. They told the manager this guy was out in their parking lot doing this thing. When they came back out, the dude was gone. They're getting paid $24 an hour in Missouri to go do this. It is completely and utterly fraudulent. We'll have more on it on a future podcast, but I wanted you to know that that's going on. So we got all kinds of good stuff going on, and we appreciate that. And as we're putting things like that on Twitter and Truth Social, we hope to get more followers. I hope many of you would like to go see that video. If you want to hear the audio and see that video, sign up on Twitter, follow me at KK Has Issues, or sign up on Truth Social, KK Has Issues. That's me. You'll see the video. That's where I'm going to start putting things like that that I can talk about on the podcast, and you can go there and see it. I'll also probably start doing some videos here in my office, some little opinion pieces or promos for the show or things like that, and you can catch those there as well. So I feel good now sending you to Twitter, at KK Has Issues, or Truth Social. Go do it. Get it done. Follow. And if you don't ever want to post anything, don't. But retweet my videos. When I put something like that out there, retweet it. People that follow you will see it. Then they'll send it to other people. That's how it spreads around, and it won't. These things won't go viral. Viral's a nationwide thing. I don't think the nation is going to be all freaked out about something going on at Costco in Kansas City, but people in our area need to see this stuff. And the way we can all help is just be retweeters or retruthers. Pick a site, go for it. If Donald Trump has 55 consecutive wins in primaries, maybe his social media platform will work. And everybody says he's going back on Twitter. I don't see it. I think if he runs for president, he'll go back on Twitter, but I don't think it will be before then. I think he's on Truth Social. That's his business, his platform. And I think he's going to run it up and see how many people he can get on there and how much money he can make running it. I would do the same thing. I wouldn't go back to Twitter right now if I were Trump and just started my own business. I wouldn't. A lot of people think he just can't stand not being on there. And I don't think they understand business. I think he wants to run his business first. And that's what he's doing. Now, if he runs for president, he'll have to get on Twitter. And that could be wild. Absolutely wild. Anyway, hit the like or follow button. We're almost 19,000 of you following the podcast. I would rather have twice as many podcast followers as Twitter followers. That would be awesome. If we ever got to like 50,000 people following this podcast, I mean, you want to talk about making a difference. We could start swinging elections now. We could start organizing and swinging elections around here. Swing that big stick. Let's do it. Don't forget, tell somebody today, Kevin Keatsman's got issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.